This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 495 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. July corn, 501, down 11 and a half. September corn, 498 and a half, down 10. May soybeans, 1462 and a quarter, down 22 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1441 and a quarter, down 16. August soybeans, 1364 and a quarter, down 16. May wheat, 669 and a quarter, down 16. July wheat, 675, down 15. September wheat, 683 and a quarter, down 14 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical trading weighed on corn and soybean prices, and moisture on spring wheat areas allowed prices to retreat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 11 to 12 cents lower at 463 to 488. Soybean bids were 24 to 29 cents lower at 1420 to 1458. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 to 13 cents lower at 462 to 491. Soybean bids were 23 to 24 cents lower at 1455 to 1467. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 12 to 16 cents lower at 470 to 505. Soybean bids were 29 cents lower at 1441 to 1472. Wheat bids were 16 to 20 cents lower at 635 to 686. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 26 to 27 cents lower at 1468 to 1497, with the basis 4 to 5 lower at 6 to 35 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 491.50 to 526.50. That was $6.20 a ton lower, with basis steady at 15 to 50 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 12 cents lower at 484 to 502, with the basis steady at 12 under to 6 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 12 to 13 cents lower at 494 to $5, with the basis steady to 1 cent lower at 2 under to 4 over the May. Soybeans ended 22 cents lower at 1452 to 1464, with the basis steady at 10 under to 2 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 13 to 15 cents lower at 647 to 650, with the basis steady to 2 higher at 25 to 28 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 10 to 11 cents lower at 519 to 520. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 19 to 23 cents with quotations of 1472 to 1491. Soft wheat closed 13 to 16 cents lower at 697 to 698. Milo ended the day 7 to 12 cents lower at 514 to 526. On to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 457 to 472, and soybeans 1142 to 1183. In the central part of the state, corn was 457 to 475, and soybeans 1161 to 1183. Now in southern Illinois, corn ranged from 458 to 478, and soybeans from 1166 to 1197, and wheat was 630 to 657. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here's your closing livestock future quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 144.60, down 15 cents. June live cattle, 136.77, up 30 cents. August live cattle, 134.47, up 50 cents. April feeder cattle, 177.22, up 77 cents. May feeder cattle, 177.97, up $1.20. August feeder cattle, 179.57, up $1.20. April lean hogs, 127, down 80 cents. May lean hogs, 125.75, up 25 cents. June lean hogs, 124.80, down $2.80. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 2nd's afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 85 to 88, 4 to 5 weights 87 to 97, 5 to 6 weights were 89 to 98, and 6 weights and up were 90 to 100. On the Illinois Direct to Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $90 up to $97. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,344 head. And now for the report from the United Producers Livestock Auction for Tuesday, April 1st. They had receipts of 580 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 147.25 to 152.25. Select and choice steers, 142 to 146.50. Select steers, 130 to 136.75. And choice Holstein steers were 135 to 143. Select and choice Holstein steers were 131.50 to 134. And choice heifers were 145 to 151. Choice and select and choice slaughter heifers were 143 to 145, and select heifers 135 to 136. They had some feeder steers, 5 weights bringing 200 to 212, and heifers, 4 weight heifers were bringing 200. Now for the report from the Fairview Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 436 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 147.25 to 154. Select steers, 142 to 148. Choice slaughter heifers, 148 to 152 and a quarter. Select and choice heifers, 139.25. And select heifers, 125 to 126. On to the slaughter cows, they had 185 head. Starting with the breakers, they were 90 to 96, owners 85 to 90, and lean 70 to 75. Slaughter bulls, they had 35 head. Those under 1,700 pounds brought 88.25 to 96.75. And those above 1,700 pounds brought 104 to 111. Now in the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 446 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $133.74, and that was $1.11 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $233.64, and that was $1.10 higher. And select carcasses were $223.66, that was 71 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000. That compared to 118,000 last week and 119,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 410,000. That compared to 412,000 last week and 425,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April and May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.88. April and May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.79. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.55. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.50. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.44. May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.39. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.62. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.88, corn at Scottville is $4.79, beans at Greenfield are $14.55, beans at Scottville are $14.44, and wheat at Scottville is $6.62. As farmers in the area are gearing up for planting season, Brazil is still harvesting their crop and looking at their Safrina corn. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, to see how our largest competitor is doing.
Well, Brazil continues to be able to move along with its harvest and make good progress. It's periodically having periods where rains are slowing down the harvest, but it's still getting the job done, and those rains are helping their second crops, the Safrina corn, the Safrina soybeans, and the Safrina wheat, which is what they call their second crop. It's helping it to do well and have some good yield objectives. I think with the late planting, particularly in northern and western areas, which are its most productive, particularly in Mato Grosso, we didn't get the corn acres that they would like to have gotten, and so we're seeing more second crop soybeans and more second crop wheat. So that's becoming a tremendous wheat-producing area now as well. So probably going to see lower corn exports from Brazil in the second half of this year than what we saw last year. Less competition for U.S. corn. That should be good for U.S. corn exports, but we'll probably see that export business for wheat that's been boosting our wheat prices start to dry up at that point as they become more self-sufficient in wheat. And the extra second crop soybeans are going to help offset some of the losses they had due to adverse weather in their first crop.
So overall, Brazil is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'd have to say so. We're still hearing a lot of reports about declining production estimates for Brazil. But I think overall, the first crop is basically done, and the market still has a lot of question marks about the size of the second crop. But from what I'm hearing coming out of Brazil and my sources, I think the second crop's looking pretty good and will help stabilize those production estimates. And I think the 85, 86 million metric tons is probably pretty close. And that should be adequate to get them to the U.S. harvest this fall.
All right. And let's come back to the States. Do we have any assessments on how the wheat crop is doing?
I drove through the state of Kansas over the weekend on a trip. And saw some very good wheat, that was turning blue from dryness, drought starting to affect it, and saw some very poor wheat, some wheat that had obviously been the victim of winter kill. So you get the full extreme, and that's what we see in the Kansas ratings as well. It's about a third poor to very poor, about a third good to excellent, about a fourth poor to very poor. And then the rest is in the middle, trying kind of hanging into balance which way it's going to go. And that's the best of the wheat in the central and southern plains. So the further south you go, the worse that it gets. And the high winds that we had on Monday of this week created so much blowing dust from the poor wheat fields that there were some highways shut down in portions of western Kansas and Nebraska. So there's still a lot of problems in the central and southern plains. In the Midwest, it's looking a little bit better, conditions. I think we will end up having some winter kill there, but overall the yield potential remains good. There are some areas that need some showers, but not the threat that the hard red winter wheat crop is facing in the central and southern plains.
All right, so far the Midwest is looking a little bit better on the wheat crop in comparison to the other states.
Absolutely, and the hard red winter wheat crop is the largest wheat class that we have in the United States that we market. And so as it goes, tends to be how the fundamentals for the whole wheat crop as a whole in the United States go. So if we're going to be able to sustain a rally, it's going to have to be led by the Kansas City market. So keep your eye on the Kansas City market. If it's not leading, then the rally's probably not sustainable. If it is leading, then that's a positive sign.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Paper logbooks could become a thing of the past for truckers. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, went into detail.
The U.S. Department of Transportation came down with what they call a notice of supplemental rulemaking, which is a fancy term saying we're going to propose rules that will be out there for the public to take a look at and to comment on. This is in the area of what they call electronic onboard recorders, a fancy name for black boxes, basically. What they will do is tell when the truck is moving, when it's not, how many hours the person has been driving the truck. It'll produce a report that can be downloaded by law enforcement, can be put on a computer into a program back at the office. The whole idea is to get rid of those paper logbooks that a lot of truckers have to use. You know, a lot of truckers, you know, may not don't need them. They're exempt because maybe they're only driving 100, you know, mile radius of their base of operation. But a lot of these guys are crossing the river, they're going down into Missouri or what have you, and then they do need logbooks. This is going to do away with it, and it's been in the works for years. So the fact is now we're going to see these, we're going to see a rule that's going to tell us, you know, maybe 2 years down the road that these boxes are going to be started, put them in new trucks, and then work their way down into existing vehicles. That's what we're eagerly awaiting to find out, but it is in fact that it's one more step to closely monitor how those trucks move and who's driving them.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. A disturbing trend is being seen at some local sale barns in the state. A large number of bulls have been failing tests, rendering them unsuitable to put into pastures. Bob Fidler with the Fairview Sale Barn in Fairview, Illinois, says this is a result of a long, cold winter.
The winter has been cruel to bulls with high wind chills and low temperatures, and the scrotums got frozen, and that's the end of a fertile bull. So you better have your bull checked. Get the shopping before the bulls are all gone if yours is bad. And boy, turning out a bull without checking, especially this year, is very poor management practice.
Fidler says a sterile bull has no real purpose for most cattlemen. From the sale barn, the packing plant is the next logical step.
It's not worth the risk. According to veterinarians I've talked to, there is a small chance of recovery, but that chance is very, very small. And the hamburger and bologna market is pretty good, so I think I'd swap bulls.
Fidler says markets for fed cattle, slaughter cows, and feeder cattle continue to be remarkably strong. He says there's greater competition amongst more bidders on quality feeder cattle this year.
Anyone selling fats receives more money and can justify spending it on expensive replacements. Grass cattle buyers, shoppers for grazers have now entered the picture to compete with the replacement buyers. And believe you me, the race is really on here. The better green cattle, up to 600 pounds, have never been quite this popular. Owning a good bull and keeping feeder cattle in thin flesh when you sell this time of year sure makes good sense.
Fidler says some slaughter cows are selling for much more than $100 per hundredweight, but he offers advice for producers who are quick to send cows to the sale barn.
No wonder a cow gets sold immediately, so you lose a calf. This corner suggests that the owner make sure the cow cleans before sending her to market. Most packers refuse to accept those that don't, and their buyers won't bid them. And believe me, this could cost $200 or $300 a head on an individual cow, and a call to the vet sure looks cheap in comparison.
Fidler says his sale barn is experiencing records in both the number of cattle coming to market and the prices they are receiving. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.